Wednesday, April 1st, 2026. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. I hope you had a good weekend. I hope that your week is going well so far. I hope you and your family and your friends are all staying strong and you're all staying healthy right now. And I hate to point this out right up front, but I need to do that because I hate to rain on some people's parades right off the bat, but please remember that today is April Fool's Day. Please remember that when you start seeing some nonsensical sports news. Don't believe that hype. Today is the day for a lot of people who aren't actually funny to try to be funny. And I am letting you know right up front, don't fall for it. Most of that stuff doesn't usually work, but every once in a while, you'll see somebody on like social media or something, and they'll trip you up on a story like, oh no, did my favorite team really just trade away their best player? Yeah, don't believe it. It's all April Fool's nonsense today. Sorry for the spoiler alert up front. Hey, jumping right into college basketball, that Final Four is now set. The Arizona Wildcats crushed both Arkansas and Purdue and are looking absolutely dominant as they go to the Final Four out of the West region. The Michigan Wolverines stomped Alabama, and then they scorched Tennessee in the Elite Eight. At one point in that Tennessee game, Michigan went on a 21-0 run before beating them by 30 or so, and they make it to the Final Four from the Midwest region. Illinois shocked Houston in Houston and then fought past a pesky Iowa team, and they go to the Final Four out of the South region. And then the Duke Blue Devils decided to make some history. The Blue Devils had to battle a bit to get by Siena in the opening round, and then they had to fight off a scrappy St. John's team in the Sweet 16. But in the Elite Eight, they were up by 15 at half. They were putting the UConn Huskies away easily. And then the Huskies rallied. And then Duke faltered. And then UConn hit a few shots. And then Duke missed a few shots. But with 10 seconds left, the Blue Devils were up by two. They have the ball. They're going to close out the game. They're going to hit some free throws. And they'll be going back to the Final Four in back-to-back seasons. And then, instead of holding the ball and shooting free throws, Duke tried to force a few passes and get that exclamation dunk at the end of the game. But instead, they turned it over, and UConn hit a three from the logo to win it. Hey, the Duke Blue Devils crashed faster and harder than a Tiger Woods SUV, and now the UConn Huskies, not the Duke Blue Devils, are advancing to the Final Four. Now, do I take any, I don't know, weird Schadenfreude joy out of Duke losing? Of course I do. Is it actually true that when Duke loses a big game, an angel gets its wings? I don't know. I mean, probably. But either way, UConn is advancing and Duke is going home in crushing fashion in back-to-back seasons. You know, we wondered here on The Dose just last week if that soft conference might come back to bite the Dukies. I mean, I don't know who saw that coming. That was next level. So this coming Saturday, we will now get in the Final Four. Number 3 Illinois versus number 2 UConn. Hey, Illinois is big. They are talented. Point guard Keaton Wagler has been dominating. He's averaging 18 points and 5 assists a game. And what I wonder, will UConn have a bit of a hangover from that wild comeback against Duke? Hey, it might be impossible not to. I am going to actually take Illinois in a close game, but I mean, maybe UConn is just star-crossed this year. After that Duke game, who even knows? I'm going to take Illinois, but maybe it is just the year of the Husky. And then in the second game on Saturday, we will get the main event and what is honestly probably the game for the national championship, because we get two number one seeds as Arizona and Michigan will square off. Hey, both teams have barely even been tested in this tournament. Arizona has won their 4 tournament games by an average of 21 points per game. Michigan has won their 4 games by an average of 23 points per game. Michigan, of course, is being led by big man Yaxel Lindeborg, who is just doing everything for them. Meanwhile, Arizona has that electric backcourt tandem of Braden Burries and Jaden Bradley. And I actually think that this could be one of those epic Final Four games that almost kind of overshadows the title game on Monday night. If you know anything about March Madness history, we have had a few of those games. Every once in a while, you do get those Final Four games that are better than the title game itself. But because of their depth, I am going to give Arizona the slightest edge, and then I will take the Arizona Wildcats to win the championship on Monday night. No, they haven't done anything since 97, but here we are. I mean, it is about that time for Arizona to win once again. It's almost been 30 years. I guess that's how Arizona does things. Hey, real quick, we also had a major shakeup in our Daily Dose Bracket Challenge. Now, B. Haggerty has a close lead, and B. Haggerty has UConn winning it all. Englert 2 is now in second place with Arizona as their champ, and Englert 2 is actually tied with Daily Dose Jr., who is actually, I believe, my son. But he had Florida winning it all, as I did. However, he still has two teams in it. So we'll see how that goes. In third place, we do have defending champion Billy O, but he has Houston winning it. And then we have a few more entries that also picked Arizona that are not very far behind. So that bracket challenge is not over. It will be decided on Monday night, and we will announce the winner of the Daily Dose Bracket Challenge next week here on The Dose. Remember, you can check the current standings over at ESPN, or just go over to DailyDoseSports.com where you can find all of our content, including the podcast, videos, some history, some photos, some Daily Dose gear if you need it. Just stop by DailyDoseSports.com. Hey, today on The Dose, we are actually going to begin to turn our attention a little bit towards the NBA. You know, I've got another podcast host, but he's not just a podcast host. He's a writer. He's a producer. He's a sports contributor. And, you know, he looks at the NBA in a way that I definitely can appreciate. In fact, we have so much to get to. We need to jump into our interview with Uriah Young right now. Joining us right now on the Daily Dose, we're going to talk a little bit about the NBA, because you might not realize this, but did you know there are only like 7-8 games left in this regular season? Well, fortunately, I've got a guy to come in and talk about the NBA and discuss maybe a little bit what we can expect going into that postseason, but also just talk NBA in general, because Uriah Young is a podcast host. He's a producer. He's a sports contributor, primarily known for his work covering the Philadelphia 76ers, but he knows a lot about the NBA in general. He currently serves as host and producer for the NBA Now and Then podcast. He also is an occasional host for the Sixers Sense podcast. But I'll tell you what I like about our guest today. Instead of the constant, you know, who is better argument, who was the GOAT, who is this, who is that, he kind of looks at modern day players and compares them to players from previous eras, which I personally love. Uriah Young, I can't wait to talk some NBA with you. Welcome to the Daily Dose today.
Clint, thank you for having me. It is an honor to be with you, and I look forward to talking Nuggets. I look forward to talking NBA. And as a Sixers fan, I'm showing Denver pride with my shirt, my NBA Jam shirt.
Going NBA Jam old school on us.
Listen, I'm an Embiid guy, but the reality is Jokic is hands down the best center in the game today. There's so many amazing things he can do, and mad respect to him and to your franchise, who won a championship not too long ago.
Yeah, it seems like ancient history, at least to me right now, but I know the playoffs are coming. They've got a chance. You're right. Give me a little bit of your background. Where'd you grow up? Where are you from?
Sure, I'm from the Philadelphia area. Okay. And I grew up a Sixers fan, like I said, and I lived in Philly for pretty much the majority of my childhood. And then I moved to South Jersey. And then from South Jersey, I went to college in Virginia, a small school called Hampton University.
Oh, yeah.
And then from there, I came back home, and I've been an educator in New Jersey for, God, almost 25 years. So that's my career as an educator. But my love and passion is for hoops. I love talking hoops. I love talking to people who know about hoops. You're a former coach yourself, and you have a great show. So yeah, that's a little bit about my background and a little bit about my show. And thank you for the compliment about the comparison, not looking at who's better, because I feel like in this day and age, not that it's lazy, but I think it's just too easy to fall into the trap of debating which players from yesterday are better than players of today or vice versa. So what we do with NBA Now and Then is, first off, Clint, we believe that basketball is more than highlights and championships, first off. Second of all, we believe that, or our goal is to bridge eras while also connecting NBA fan and generations of fans through our comparisons. And what we do, Clint, is we compare using statistics, accolades, teammates, right? Because
absolutely
on their own. And we also do the bio of each player, which is my segment, because we peel back layers so that true fans of NBA players can understand why their favorite player became as great as they did. They didn't do it alone, which is why we mentioned teammates. So we have a great time doing it. We're in season 3 right now, and I'm glad I have the opportunity to share that with you on your show.
I love it. I've got to ask, and there is no wrong answer here. Were you an athlete yourself? Did you play back in the day?
Yeah, well, I started out, believe it or not, I started as a competitive swimmer.
Really?
Yeah. That's There's a movie made about my swim team called Pride. I don't know if you saw that movie with Terrence Howard.
I'm familiar, yeah.
Bernie Mac, yeah. So it was the first all-African-American swim club in North Philadelphia, and I was on that swim team. So I was a swimmer first, and then I played hoops like every kid does.
Sure.
I didn't play from my high school because I was kind of a runt, and I just flat out, I'm not going to lie, I wasn't good enough. I was good, but not good enough.
Sure.
So I grew up, you know, loving hoops. I ended up coaching like you did, but not at the high school level. I coached rec league ball and at the middle school level. So yeah, that was my sport. It was swimming and then hoops.
I got to ask this too. We got to paint that picture. We got to paint that background picture. Favorite player and team growing up. Who is the guy that you're like, oh, that's my guy? And I know that's a difficult question.
No, it's not difficult. Obviously, I grew up a Sixers fan.
Sure.
But I do have a 1A and 1B favorite player. So the player that really helped me fall in love with basketball was Charles Barkley.
Yeah.
I was in middle school, number 34. Once Doc retired, it was his team. So once Charles came in, there were so many highlights that resonate with me now as a almost 50-year-old man. So, but the 1B player is Isaiah Thomas.
Sure.
Because, you know, I'm 5'11", and when you're a kid, you see a player on the court that you can relate to that's not a super giant on the court, someone that can manipulate the ball, get other players involved, and they won 2 championships as a result of his leadership. So I would say Charles Barkley and Isaiah Thomas.
I'm really glad that you brought those two guys up, because you want to talk about two guys that, again, we were talking a little bit before we started recording. A lot of times we take, you know, this player, we take this, hey, it's Kobe, it's LeBron, it's whoever, and we just elevate them. Hey, they're right up there with Jordan. You got to get past guys like Barkley. You got to get past guys like Bird. And I understand the championship. I get it. Right. But there are a lot of players that get forgotten just how good they truly were. So I'm really glad you brought up two guys that get forgotten a lot. I got to ask, how did you get into podcasting? How did this all get started?
So in 2020, I was on the board for the Philadelphia Writers Conference. And what we would do is we would allow writers from all over the Philadelphia region to come in, collaborate, network. And I was doing that volunteer for at least 5 years. At that point, I'd been published, I think, maybe twice.
Okay.
So my writing career was really kind of stagnant. And then one day I just realized, you know, let me put down something where, you know, I'm not getting as much value out of it, even though I was helping others. And I said, let me start writing myself. So I ended up applying for a fan-sided job, the Sixer Sense, which you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
So I started writing about the 76ers. From there, I started listening to the podcast that they had. And I reached out to the two guys, my editors. I said, look, you guys know ball, but I can help you with your audio quality. I can help you with the production side. So I pretty much volunteered. And from there, that's how I got into podcasting.
So now I listed, you know, Now and Then, but you've got a couple other podcasts that you're doing too, or that you're at least involved with, aren't you? What else do you have going?
Absolutely. We are doing movie reviews, but not just any movie reviews, Clint. We do basketball movie reviews.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And we had a blast looking back at the original Space Jam because it's the 30-year anniversary this year
that
movie came out. Yeah. We were able to go into the behind-the-scenes details of how the movie was made. We actually interviewed the lead animator from Space Jam. He's over across the pond. His name is Neil Boyle. Gave us some really great nuggets about what it was like working with Michael Jordan, some of the challenges of taking live action with animation. It was really a remarkable interview because he told us things that, you know, we had never heard and you can't even find on the internet. So we do movie reviews. We also did a movie review on a really great basketball film, Coach Carter.
Of course.
Can't go wrong with Sam Jackson, right?
Right.
We did that in movie review. And the other podcast we do is we do our 50-40-90 interviews. So we, like you do, we invite guests on our show and give them a platform to elevate the projects they're doing. We do authors, we do former coaches, players, et cetera. And we've been doing that. We've been interviewing people for about 2 years now.
Wow. You're staying busy. You're doing a lot of things. Okay. We talked about it just a little bit, but you do your comparison podcast. You kind of look back.
Yes.
You look at now and then.
Yep.
Give me a few modern day players that maybe first come to mind and who they best compare with from a previous era.
All right. Well, I'll go with, I can go with some comparisons of what's coming up in season 3 of NBA Now and Then.
I love it.
Is that fair?
Absolutely. So,
Tomorrow, we're actually recording an episode where we are comparing Mike Conley, who is a little long in the tooth, but we want to give him his flowers now because he has a really steady career as a point guard. So we're comparing him to another steady point guard, Andre Miller, who used to play
in Denver. Who used to play in Denver. I remember both of those players very well. That's an excellent comparison. I like that a lot. That is good stuff. You know, it's funny because we tend to listen in the world of sports to the loudest. So the fans that are the loudest, they get the most attention. They get the most. Well, the problem is that the fans that are loudest are usually the youngest.
Yes.
And you're right. God love them. They just don't know anything. They have no sense of history. They have no sense of what came before them. So I understand when they look at today and they go, hey, Shawn Gilgeous-Alexander is the best player that ever walked the earth. I get it. I can appreciate it. It's just not founded in much history. That's why I really love what it is that you're doing, because you're bringing, not only are you putting, say, an SGA back into that light, but you're bringing some of those guys that played back then and giving them a little more recognition, saying, wait a second, you're forgetting there was guys that came before him.
Yep. Yep.
That's
yep,
what absolutely. I absolutely love what you're doing.
So I'll give you a couple more. So in a couple of weeks, we'll be comparing Drew Holiday to Gary Payton.
Excellent comparison, especially defensively and the way they can lock someone down and just make you work for everything offensively. Excellent comparison. Yeah, I like what you guys are doing. This is good stuff.
Yeah, let me give you a couple more. So we do all positions, obviously. We do guards, forwards. We have a power forward comparison coming where I know Anthony Davis is hurt right now, but you cannot dismiss his impact. You cannot dismiss his talent, all-star. But we're comparing him to another amazing power forward, played for Minnesota. We're going with Kevin Garnett.
Kevin Garnett, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Yep.
If Anthony Davis could stay on the floor, that's who he is, right? That's a very similar comparison. Yeah, that's a really, really good comparison. I like what you're doing. That is good stuff. It's so funny, too, because I've been saying that for years on The Dose and talking about forget comparing and saying one's better than the other. Let's just try to find one that is the modern day version of that guy, because you're looking at things through a modern lens and it's completely unfair to some of those previous era guys. OK, I've got to ask you a couple things.
Mm-hmm.
Uriah, I'm getting concerned about the NBA. We're going to talk about the playoffs here in just a minute, but I'm getting a little bit worried about the NBA, and I'll tell you a few reasons why. One, the NBA is looking at expanding. They're looking going back to Seattle, which we remember some of those great teams up in Seattle with Supersonics. I love the idea, and they're looking at going into Vegas. I know Utah is not thrilled as they are, you know, able to throw a rock to Vegas and they don't want to, you know, have their fans stolen from them. But here's my worry. The NBA, I don't want them to stress themselves too thin. And I'm worried about adding two more franchises. And I don't know that we have the superstar quality right now. And I know a lot of that is cyclical. But do we have enough superstars to add two more franchises? Does that sound right?
All I have to say is, if you look across the Atlantic Ocean,
yeah,
you have a whole continent of NBA quality players.
Okay.
That's the EuroLeague, whether it's France, whether it's Spain, whether it's Greece. I mean, there's a lot of great players across the ocean that can come over and fill some of those slots. And we do have guys in the G League. You know, every franchise has a G League team. I used to cover the Delaware Bluecoats for the 76ers. I would go to the games, do a write-up. By the way, cool story. Mac McClung.
Yeah.
When I would cover the Bluecoats, every time he was on the floor, he was the best player.
Sure.
He's not the biggest, not the fastest, but every time he was the best player on the floor. He recently broke the G League record. He's the all-time scorer. I remember after he won his first dunk contest, I was at the game and in the press room. It was his first interview. It was like the All-Star game was Saturday night. At least that was the dunk contest. Wednesday night, I'm sitting right in front of him. And I asked him, I said, Mac, congratulations on winning a dunk contest title. I said, if you could describe, you know, what the weekend was like for you, you know, what stood out to you besides winning the title? You know what he said? Clint, he gave me the safest answer. He's like, well, you know, it was exciting. And I was just glad that my family was there. I'm like, man, that's not what fans want to hear about, you know, hanging with LeBron, hanging with KD. He gave the ultimate PC answer, which is fine. But the point is when you have players like Mac McClung, who I cannot understand why he doesn't get NBA playing time.
Agreed.
Because he's so good. I have no reservations about Seattle or Vegas expanding the NBA teams. I think we won't have any issues. I mean, I'm sure teams are going to be disappointed that they have to lose players in their draft, but I have no issues. I have no issues at all.
Do you have any thoughts? And I know that Adam Silver is starting to look really, really seriously. They released a few options that they're trying to maybe try to find a foothold. What did they do about the tanking? We know teams are tanking. We know teams just are hoping to get that big draft pick. And with, you know, college basketball, everybody kind of looked at all the NIL stuff, how it's going to ruin college basketball. No, it's actually made it way better. College basketball is phenomenal right now. It's really, really good. Hey, we've got a class coming. Yes. We've got a group of rookies coming that is going to be amazing. Is there any fix for tanking, or do we just kind of have to grin and bear it?
I like the idea. I forget who floated it, of getting rid of the draft period, letting these guys come out of college or overseas and sign as free agents. I think that's the only way you can ensure that teams won't purposely lose, expecting some type of higher order of selection. I don't know how to fix that. I do know that someone said, well, have a play-in tournament where the bottom eight teams play for the best pick. My question is, you, Clint, if I'm the ninth guy on the bench, why would I play hard so that we can get a guy that can replace me
to take my job? No, you're right.
Why would I play hard for that? That makes no sense in the world.
And if your team is good enough to win that, do they need that guy? Because there's another team that's going to lose, and they apparently need him worse than you do.
Hello.
I don't know how you fix it. I don't understand what they're going to do to try to get rid of this. Okay, I'm gonna put that stuff aside, and I'm not gonna talk about the foul baiting. I'm not gonna talk about the officiating right now. We're gonna pass that by. I want to look at the playoffs. I want to look at the postseason, because we're looking right now. The East, I keep thinking the East is catching the West, and now I'm looking at the West and going, man, the West has just gotten. It just keeps getting better. It just keeps, it's so stacked right now. And now you add a few more teams in that Western side. All right, let's take a look real briefly at the East, and you don't have to drill down to team, you know, 6, 7, 8. I don't care. Who are the teams you really like coming out of the East?
So until Cade Cunningham went down, I was all on board. I was on the Pistons train, man.
I was
with
you. I
love how they play, the defense, the hard-nosed play. They're just a quality team. I think the continuity of, despite them being through multiple losing seasons, you grow from that. And these young guys have figured it out. And with good coaching, I did like Detroit. But at this point, Boston, they've been together so long. Yeah. They know each other. They have a great coach, probably the best coach in the entire league.
Probably so.
Yeah, I do like the Knicks just because I just like their team. They have talent. They have continuity. My team, the Sixers, I'm very disappointed. I have no expectations, so I don't get upset.
I understand.
I know Harden is doing pretty good for the Cavs since he got there, but I've seen what it's like to have Harden start off hot and then hit the playoffs. And
we know what he does in the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't really believe in Cleveland, but if there were a sleeper to make noise, I really like Charlotte.
Oh, good pick.
I'm not saying they're going to win the championship.
No.
They might surprise them. They might win a series.
Yeah. And if they did, honestly, who would have it right now? Aside from people in Charlotte, everybody would be like, who? They won one? But be careful, because if you're one of those, you know, higher seeds and you get Charlotte, it's not going to be as easy as what you might think it is. And I'm right there with you. I look at the Knicks and go, maybe that point guard, he's just so tough. My goodness, he just comes out every single night and kind of wills them to be good. They had that playoff situation last year, and now you're waiting and going, okay, what are they going to do this year? They haven't looked great in the regular season. Maybe they can you turn it on in the postseason? I guess we're going to find out. I'm right there with you. I look at Boston, their experience, they're getting maybe one of the best players in the entire league, you know, back fully healthy now. Boston's just going to be so dang tough to beat.
Yeah.
That's disappointing to me. All right. That's all we can say. All right. Let's move over to the other side. Who are those teams that you're looking at in the West? Because that West, I just keep thinking, okay, it's a two-team race. Okay. It's a three-team race. Okay. Now it's like a seven-team race. I don't even know. The West is so stacked again. Who are you liking in that Western Conference?
Wow. It's hard not to go with Oklahoma City or San Antonio because of the youth, the boldness of them. Like they walk around like they belong.
They do.
You're talking about teams that guys are barely 22, 23, but they're walking on court and walking into the locker room. They're walking into visiting arenas like they own the place. So I like both teams. I do like Denver because, I mean, when you have Jokic and Jamal Murray, like proven champions, all-stars. So I do like Denver. Do I think they can beat OKC or the Spurs in a seven-game series? I don't know. The other team, don't sleep on Minnesota. Because Anthony Edwards, I think, has another level that he wants to go to. And when that happens, look out. Look out.
And they are loaded. They've got a ton as well. You brought up San Antonio, and I know they're young, and I know we kind of look at teams in the NBA, especially like you got to earn, you got to get through a few playoff series. You got to get beat up. You're right. They're so good. I don't know if it matters. They might not have to earn those lumps. They might just go in and win the dang thing. They're so talented. I can't believe how good they're playing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the Spurs, man, Wemby is, we compared Victor Wembanyama in season three, our first episode from season three. We compared him to Wilt Chamberlain.
Okay.
The reason why we did that is because in the late 50s, early 60s, the NBA, the ABA, anyone had never seen anything like Wilt before.
Yep.
And no matter who you put on the floor, there was nothing you could do to deter his offense or avoid his defense. And you've heard all week from former players, current coaches, analysts, all of a sudden, they're on the Wemby bandwagon for MVP.
Yeah.
Not to say that I predicted he would be MVP or in the candidacy of it, but when we started covering him and we peeled back layers of his career, his background, and you look at the progression, hanging out with monks, training with monks, going into outer space, or not going into space, but hanging with astronauts.
Yeah, yeah.
He is mentally, Clint, he's on another level.
He's a different dude.
it's like he's like a Kobe mentality type guy where he wants to be number one. He wants to go out and just take what he believes belongs to him, and that's a title or a championship trophy.
MVP. When you see how much he cares, not only about the All-Star game, he actually got guys to care about the All-Star
game. Yeah,
to care about a Tuesday night back-to-back. This is something we need desperately. He is the guy that I'm looking at right now. We talked about some of the things I'm worried about with the NBA. There's a guy that I look at and go, okay, maybe that's the guy that's going to fix some things because he's getting guys to play a little bit more and play a little bit harder. And I absolutely love that aspect of his game. I've got to ask this. I know you're in Philly. Do we give any credence whatsoever to the Lakers? Should we start being concerned about the Lakers and going, I don't know. They might win a series or two because I'm looking at them and going, okay, they've still got their flaws.
Right.
And their best player still won't play defense, but they're getting better defensively. And it kind of feels like they're starting to figure some things out. Mm-hmm. Should we be worried about the Lakers at all?
I don't think the Lakers look. I don't dislike LeBron. I like LeBron a lot. I love Luka Doncic. We compared Luka to Larry Bird in season one. And of course, Austin Reeves is a phenomenal player.
Yep.
I just think DeAndre Ayton.
There you go.
I don't know if you can win with a guy that is not a true impact player on defense. Is he solid? I mean, he's a good player, but I just don't know if they have enough to compete against Wembanyama or Rudy Gobert or even Jokic for that matter.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you see how early they could end up matching up, I mean, what if they drew the Spurs in the first round?
Oh,
scary. Scary. And that's the scariest part to me about the West is when you look at some of the matchups, because you think of the teams we name, you know, 6-7 teams, we're like, oh, you know, when you start looking at the matchups and you go, oh, wait a second, that might be a first round matchup. Mm. Ooh, that's
not good
real tough. Yeah. Yeah.
JJ Redick's going to be staying up till 5 in the morning on his whiteboard and like in the commercial when he's like just drawing up calculus.
And Redick is a guy that he's got to just be operating on no sleep. I don't know how you live with that team. That team would drive me absolutely crazy. Don't get me wrong. They're insanely talented. And also they would drive me nuts because I've got to figure out how to get shots for him, how to get playing time for him, how to get this guy that, and also how to get DeAndre Ayton to act like he even pretends to care because he is just such a different dude. Man, there's just so many teams. That is why I worry for my Nuggets because, yes, I'm a Nuggets fan. I'm hoping that it's so stacked. I don't know if they can hang. And we saw them take Oklahoma City last year to 7. Speaking of Oklahoma City, so deep. They play so hard defensively. They play hard every night. They can shoot it. Do you look at Oklahoma City and go, okay, but here's the weakness we got to worry about. Is there one?
Honestly, I don't think that team has a weakness.
I don't know if they do.
I don't think because, you know, with the Lakers, you could say, okay, offensively, they're set. Defensively, Denver, number one offensive team in the league. Their point differential, I think they're like +4 or +5, but defensively, we don't know.
Horrible.
So, but Oklahoma City.
I'll say
City,
it for you.
Horrible. Okay, you said it, not me. You watch them a lot more than I do. Oklahoma City, they just picked up. And I would argue one of the worst trades in Philadelphia franchise history. I was a big Jerry McCain fan.
Oh, yeah.
Last year was his rookie year. And when I was watching him play, I watch every Sixers game. I'm like, this guy has, get ready for this. It's not a hot take. Okay. This guy has Steph Curry vibes.
Ooh.
And when I say Steph Curry, I'm not saying, you know, changing the game or breaking records.
Of course.
But in terms of confidence, to shoot the ball anywhere on the floor, I think he's an underrated playmaker. I think he can score on all levels. He makes good decisions when he gets in the paint. And that was as a rookie.
Yeah.
There was a streak. He played like 16 games or something. He was averaging 21 points, something ridiculous. And he got hurt. This year comes, he's trying to get back on the court. He's got a bad, I think he messed his hand up or his finger, and then he was dealing with his recovery in his knee. And then what do the Sixers do? In a win now moment, when you need bodies to help Embiid and Paul George, you let a player walk and get nothing in return.
Ugh.
Jarrett McCain is killing it in Oklahoma City, and he's not even a starter. So my point, to answer your question, Oklahoma City has depth, more depth than any team in the league.
Anybody.
Name any other team. There's no one deeper than Oklahoma City. Chet is a problem. SGA is a problem. Jalen Williams is a problem. I mean, they don't have any flaws, in my opinion.
No. The way they're officiated is a problem. I'm just playing. I'm just playing. I had to throw that out there for those Oklahoma City fans. But although there is some weirdness to how they are officiated, I will say that. But no, you're exactly right. The way that they play defense, and especially the way that they can shoot it from distance, you almost have to hope, like when they went through that little slump around Christmas time, that they just have a week where they just can't shoot it. And and other than that, good luck, because they're just so deep, so good on both ends. Yeah, they're going to be really,
if there is a team, and I'm glad you reminded me of that. If there's a team that can take down Oklahoma City, we know it's San Antonio. Something about Wembanyama, he's got it out for Chet.
Yes,
he does. Look back to when they were playing, like before they came to the NBA, he had a chip on his shoulder.
Yep.
With Chet. I don't know if he's like, you know, this guy thinks he's, it's kind of like, remember when Jordan and Drexler, he would get hyped up because people were comparing him to Drexler, and he kind of took offense to that.
That's highly offended.
That's kind of how I take how Wemby looks at Chet. He's like, this guy, okay, he's tall, he can shoot, but he's not me. And I think that's the motivation that Wemby has when he plays against him.
No, you're exactly right, because every time he plays them, he plays like it is life and death. He wants to beat them. Yep. And you bring up another fair point, and we'll get to this team next. But we have a guy here in Denver that for some reason, and I don't know exactly what it is, he hates the Los Angeles Lakers, but I love him for it. And that is Jamal Murray, because he saves his best for the Lakers. And Denver concerns me. They've got more depth this year. They've got more depth than I think they had even the year that they won it. The problem is that the West is just so much better. And I'm not sure I trust Adelman as a head coach. I haven't seen anything that gives me confidence that this is the guy. Right now, I am fully convinced Nikola Jokic is the head coach of the Denver Nuggets until proven otherwise.
Well, if there was ever to be a cerebral player coach on the floor, you would want it to be Jokic, because he sees things. He's kind of like Neo in the Matrix. He sees things so far ahead of everyone else, including players who are on the court, not just coaches. So Jamal Murray, I'm glad you brought him up, because we compared Jamal Murray in season one of NBA Now and Then. We compared him to Deron Williams.
Oh, great.
And Deron Williams is more of a, you know, passer distributor. But if you look at their style of play, their fluidity, their ability to, you know, pull up from anywhere on the court, they're one and the same player. And when we did the research on his background, I don't know if you know this, so all the Nuggets fans, I don't know if you know this, but check it out. Jamal Murray's dad had such a huge impact on his development. We're talking having his son growing up as a young player, shooting free throws blindfolded. Also, his dad would have him sit down and watch kung fu movies with him. And he would talk to his son like, yeah, you know, did you see the balance on that, you know, on that martial artist? And his dad would deliberately train him as a young player for not only skill, but patience. He would have him shooting free throws blindfolded, and he wouldn't give him the ball to shoot his next free throw until a full minute went by.
Oh,
so, yeah. So it's for Jamal Murray, when you think about why is he so poised, why is he able to elevate his game at the highest level in the most pressure situation? It's because his dad trained him to be ready for those moments of pressure. And it shows every time he plays in big games. You know, the 50-point game in the bubble. I mean, if Jokic wasn't there, I mean, his numbers might dip, but he's a star, man. I love Jamal Murray.
Yeah, and Jamal Murray, and I know, you know, make no mistake, Jokic is the MVP. They don't win that championship without Murray. It's not even close. And that is the reason that this year they have a chance. He's putting together his best regular season. Now we've got to see, can he do it in the postseason? And also, can they get Aaron Gordon to stay on the floor every game? Because that has been a bit of a problem. Banged up the way he plays. I mean, he's a big physical guy, but a big physical guy as he ages turns into a hurt physical guy. And that's what we're seeing here. When you look at Aaron Gordon,
You what? Need him. You need
oh,
him.
Oh, you have to have him. He's a
when I watch player. When I watch that finals, he was the key for you guys. He had matchup problems against the other team. They didn't know how to stop him. So no. I think he's a crucial piece to your championship hopes.
And he's the guy, as much as Murray gets credit and deserves it, for understanding how to play with Jokic and the two-man game that they play, that high-low that Aaron Gordon has with Jokic is every bit as dangerous and sometimes even more dangerous from a standpoint of what do you do? How do you stop him?
Yeah.
But he's got to be on the court and he's got to be healthy and he's got to be able to, you know, go run and play. And that is the most concerning thing. They've got to have him playing at full speed. Otherwise, that West is too stacked. I think it's going to be really, really tough.
Can I ask you a question about Jokic? Because, you know, you watch every game and you've been covering him for his entire career. Is it odd to you guys out in Denver that he loves basketball, but it's not his end all be all in life? He's so kind of nonchalant about it. How do you guys feel?
I'm really glad that you brought that up because that is such a great point. Here is the little secret that nobody knows, and I'm gonna share the inside secret. Jokic thinks it's hilarious that everyone else thinks he's kind of nonchalant about basketball because of that's how he carries himself. That's how he portrays himself. Basketball is take it or leave it. I would much rather be playing with my ponies. And I get it because that's how it looks.
Yeah, exactly.
However, this man is averaging a triple double every single night against the best in the world. And he's making it look easy. There is no way he doesn't have the drive of a Jordan, of a LeBron, of one of these Kobe Bryant types that is a psycho. And from what I understand from people in the building, he's a psycho. He just hides it. And he pretends like, hey, win or lose, whatever, I'm going to go play with my horsies. But when you look at what he's doing, if he's not as driven as he apparently is, he's making a fool of the NBA because if he's doing this and not really caring, my goodness, what does that say? What would he be like if he really cared? No, he's a psycho. He just hides it. And I think he thinks it's kind of funny. I think he thinks it's kind of funny that they won the title and he was like, okay, now I can go home. I think he thinks that it's kind of a dig at everybody. And when you think about it, if you went overseas and you went over to, you know, somewhere over in the Eastern Bloc and you're playing over there, and everybody said, hey, you won the championship. What the first man, I'm going home to Philly. This stuff is silly to me. Wouldn't that be the ultimate thing to be able to say? And I think that's how he operates. And I think he thinks it's kind of funny.
Yeah, Jokic is different, man. I think if you listen to when he was drafted, I think there was an interview with Malika Andrews, and she was talking to him about, you know, him being drafted during a Taco Bell commercial. And he, you know, took a shot at himself. It was like, oh yeah, ha ha ha, you know, because I'm the fat boy.
Yeah,
that's what I love about Jokic. He doesn't take things too seriously. No. But to your point, you know better than me. He is psycho, but he hides it well. And I know that whoever does his 30 for 30 or whatever documentary, I'm going to be locked in because I can't wait to hear about his career and what he really thought about different things like the Embiid rivalry, which really isn't a rivalry because Embiid barely plays.
Embiid doesn't play. Yeah. Well, and here's the reason, because I had heard that from a couple of different people, and I'd heard that from some NBA kind of in the locker room kind of guys that they were like, oh no, he's got everybody fooled. He's a psycho. But here's the kind of evidence, I guess, I'll throw out there. When you see his brothers, and if you know much about that, you know, whole situation when his brothers were kind of taking center stage there for a couple of weeks with a couple of twins that were playing for the Clippers. His brothers are who he had to compete with every day.
Yep.
His brothers are legit psycho. There's no way that it doesn't burn in him to be great because he had to play against those guys, and those guys scare me to death. And by the way, scared a couple guys into some DNPs that were professional athletes because they legit might be psycho. So I think it was in him. I think he was raised that way. The only thing with him is as a kid, he didn't grow. He wasn't as big as they were. And then when he all of a sudden got big, he was like, oh, I've been playing as a point guard to feed them this whole time. And now I'm the big guy. And I think that kind of threw everything off.
So Jokic, we covered Jokic. We compared him to Tim Duncan in season two.
Interesting comparison. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Originally, though, Clint, I was not for it. But Lucas Johnson, who's one of our guys, he's like, we got to do it. He did not relent. He just was like, we're doing it. I don't care what you say. I was like, all right, fine. So we compared Jokic to Tim Duncan, two quiet superstars, two guys that impact the game in more ways than one. But when I was doing the research on Jokic, you mentioned his brothers. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you know that Nemanja, he attended Detroit Mercy, right?
Yeah.
He played there.
Yeah.
So you mentioned, okay, he grew up with them. All right. So he's playing against his brothers. He grew up in a small town with 40,000 people overseas. He was 20 years old when he won an MVP in the Adriatic League, and he was drafted in the second round. And his first season or two, I think he was a backup for, I forget who was on Denver at the time. Who was the center?
Well, there was the other kid that they drafted the same year.
Yes.
And he ended up shipping him off to Portland.
Yes.
And he was kind of sitting behind him too. And I'm totally spacing his name, but he was kind of backing up him, even though when you actually watched both of them play, you went, oh, these are two different animals. They look the same, but they're not the same.
Yeah. Yeah. But the point is he was a backup.
Nurkic.
Yeah, Nurkic, right. He didn't flourish right away. So to see him make that progression, lose weight. I remember he lost all that weight over the summer. He came back. I'm like, wow, Jokic looks good.
Looks different, yeah.
He looks really good. So shedding those pounds, you know, developing chemistry. Mike Malone, I know he's not there anymore, but I thought he was a good coach for you guys.
I do too.
But Jokic is such a special player that I used to argue that Embiid was better. But it got to a point where I'm like, what am I doing? I'm such a homer. Let me give this man credit when credit is due, because Jokic is doing things that no center has ever been able to do.
That's true.
Period.
Here's my question for you. You mentioned that you guys compared him to Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
But you were kind of pushing back against that.
Mm-hmm.
Who did you want to compare him to?
Let's see if you can take a guess.
Well, I know who I would compare him to, that they don't play the same position. But
oh, okay. But
because of his brain, because of his vision, and it's going to sound insane, I would absolutely compare him to Larry Bird.
Mm.
Can't run, can't jump. Okay. And why is he embarrassing the league?
that's a good point. Bird was embarrassing the league.
Yes. But like you said, not same position, but and when you look at Tim Duncan, you're like, hey, the fundamental, nobody's gonna, you know, rush down to the, you know, this to the arena to watch a guy, you know, kiss the backboard every shot. No, I get it. I can see the comparison. I'm okay with that, because Tim Duncan was phenomenal, was so good. Also a swimmer. Oh, I like that. Also, Duncan had to have those two guys helping him.
Yep.
And two really, really good guys that probably don't get as much recognition as they deserve in Monta Ginobili and Tony Parker, but two really, really good players that I don't know that he wins those titles without them.
Yeah. To answer your question, originally we had Jokic being compared to Sabonis.
Okay. Yeah.
Papa.
Obviously. And the hard part with Sabonis is we didn't get to see him until he's an old man.
Yeah.
If you're watching him as a young kid and, you know, you see some of the old film or whatever, you can't tell a competition, but you're like, the game was very similar. The way he passed, the way he saw the floor, the way he shot. Yeah. It could totally, totally sit. Man, you're right. I could sit here and talk hoop with you all night. I'm going to have to. I can't do that. We've got other things we've got to get to. But first and foremost, I want to say thank you for stopping by the Daily Dose. You're welcome anytime. And I genuinely mean that. Second, I'm going to put you on the spot. You've probably already given it to me, but now we're going to ask for it in, you know, kind of black and white, your pick for the NBA Finals. Who's it going to be?
Wow. So one Eastern Conference and one Western Conference.
That's it.
Team. Okay.
What do you got?
Well, I was going to say Detroit, but I think Cade is not going to make it back. And if he does,
if Cade was healthy. Yeah. Yeah. That's not a sprained ankle. That's that's a serious situation for sure.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to go out on a limb, and Stephen A. Smith would be happy with this prediction. I think the Knicks find a way to make it to the finals.
I love it.
I think they figure it out. Cat, Jalen Brunson. Remember, those three players, Brunson, Bridges, and Hart, they've been playing together since
Those are Nova 18. Boys.
Yeah. Pat, I think, is hungry. Jordan Clarkson, I think, is hungry. I think they have good depth, and I think they'll make it to the finals. Will they win? I don't think so, because I'm going to go with Oklahoma City coming out of. I would like to say San Antonio because I really like Wemby.
Sure.
I just think they have to pay their dues a little bit more. I think Oklahoma City will figure it out, and they have more depth than San Antonio.
They do. No, without a doubt, they do. San Antonio, from that perspective, in that conference, just might be a few more players and a few more years away. They've got plenty of time. But yeah, I think you make a really good point, because Oklahoma City just looks way too stacked and looks way too good. Uriah, like I said, I could sit here and talk hoop with you all night, but before I let you go, I've got to ask you, where can people find what you're doing? Where can people keep up on what you're doing? Because I know my listeners are going to want to tune into what it is you have going. So where should they go?
Sure. We are on every social media platform. We're on Instagram, TikTok. We're on Facebook. We're on X. We're even on Pinterest. So you can find us anywhere. But if you really want to find our content, all of our comparisons, we are on NBANowAndThen.com. Again, NBANowAndThen.com. Soon to be, Clint, we're in the middle of a rebrand. We're going to be Basketball Now and Then. But until that happens, you can find us on NBANowAndThen.com.
I absolutely love it, Uriah. I cannot thank you enough for stopping by the Daily Dose. I truly enjoyed our visit. And like I said, would love to have you back at any time. Really enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you, Clint. I appreciate it. And good luck with the Nuggets this year.
We're going to need all the luck we can get.
Yeah.
Hey, next week on The Dose, we will be recapping that national championship game that will be taking place on Monday night. We might have to take a brief look back at the college basketball season in general. And you know, we'll be keeping you up to date on all that is going on in the world of sports. So be sure you stop by The Dose, and be sure you let a friend know to do the same. I want to say thank you so much to writer and podcaster Uriah Young for stopping by The Daily Dose. I thoroughly enjoyed our conversation and hope you'll stop by again. And hey, I do encourage you all, go check out the Now and Then podcast. You will be entertained. And I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. But more than anything, thank you for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, and for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Hats off, thank you, GSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody, and enjoy the college basketball national championship.